Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past Halloween, I gave out glow bracelets instead of candy. They were very popular. I started with 300, and in less than an hour and a half, I was out. Now, I'm pretty sure some of the trick-or-treaters double-dipped, but where I live in East Nashville, we average 300 trick-or-treaters. The thing about glow bracelets or glow sticks, you must shake them in order for them to shine. It makes me think about today's scripture. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But it's not good for anything if we let salt lose its taste or don't shine our light. Years ago, I remember reading a chapter in a book that referred to this passage with the title, Shake and Shine. As followers of Jesus, we are called to shake and shine. James chapter 1 says, you must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Note that in our lesson today, Jesus says, you are salt, you are light. He is not saying you should be the salt of the earth or the light of the world. He doesn't say you could be the salt of the earth or the light of the world. He is stating a fact. By accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There is much that can be said about salt. Most importantly, it is essential for life. Salt was a central part of the lives of the people in the first century. Now, today we think of salt primarily as a flavoring agent, and we have other uses for salt, making ice cream, melting ice, which can be important in winters like we just had, water purification, there's others. But in the first century, salt was one of the most important commodities. Salt was used for preservation. For example, a fish would be harvested from the Sea of Galilee, and it had become a major delicacy in the Roman world. So fishermen like Peter and Andrew and James and John would catch their fish, and then they would be salted and dried and shipped around the Roman world, especially to Rome, where they drew top drachma, or dollars. Did you know that light is mentioned 236 times in the Bible? Now, I did not count those. I did Google it. But, you know, God started creation with light. Light is a common metaphor for God in the scripture. The light is of God. Israel was meant to be a light to the world, to be a blessing to the world. If you say to someone, you are the light of the world, you're telling them that they are a sign of God's presence in the world. So as Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. The question for us today is what kind of salt and light will we be? One of the ways that Western United Methodist Church shines its light is the generous giving that is here. It allows a church to support many organizations financially. This year, thanks to you, the Missions and Outreach Committee awarded 39 global and local organizations over $140,000 in grants. And then there's the $30,000 that we raised for the Habitat build, over $7,000 we raised to support a nurse for Promise for Haiti. There's the other communion offerings, and then we have a very generous benevolence fund that allows us to help people who come in and ask for assistance. You know, I could go on and on, but the money we give is so important, and many times financial gifts are the best way we can support one of our mission partners. So I say thank you for your generosity. In his book, The Underground Church, Robin Myers, who recently gave the Clark Lecture, says, it should be the goal of every underground church movement to spend as much money on others as we spend to keep our house. Now, we may have a little ways to go, but I've never been a part of a church that gives as much as West End does monetarily to mission and outreach. This is something that I hope you celebrate with me. Giving is essential, but we are also called to give our time through service. Every time someone joins this church, we recommit ourselves to uphold this congregation by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We serve God by serving others. Robin Myers also says the church exists in order to do mission, and that mission work is a responsibility of the people. It is not the work of the pastors or the staff. It is the responsibility of the congregation. Several years ago, Paul Slintz, who's the pastor of 61st Avenue, shared with me an article that he had written. The title was Ministry with the Poor, Doing For, Doing With, Being With. The easiest way for us to serve is doing for others, where those we are helping, generally the poor, are the recipients of our service. And doing for is absolutely essential. Referring to his congregation at 61st Avenue, Paul says, "We would be hard-pressed to keep our doors open without doing for assistance." That being said, transformation occurs when we move from doing for to doing with. Doing with moves us to a deeper level of engagement and can result in the building of lasting relationships. Here at West End, we say, we believe we are called by God to be and become the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. It is through connecting and serving with others that relationships are formed and transformation occurs. Many of you know that we just had a mission team return from Guatemala. I was fortunate to be part of that team of 14. One of the team members shared that the most meaningful part of her experience was working in the clinic alongside of Orlinda, one of the local health promoter staff members. It was the doing with. I'm reminded of a story I once heard a pastor share. The kingdom of God is like a father of a very wealthy family who took his son on a trip to the country with the express purpose of showing him how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on a farm with what would be considered a very poor family. On the return home, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Now do you understand how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh, yes," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn on the trip?" the father asked. The son answered, "I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them." The boy's father was speechless. Then his son added, "Thanks, Dad. Thanks for showing me how poor we are." Yes, we are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth. Yet, when we risk truly getting to know those we serve, when we step out in faith by being in relationship, by doing with, we may very well be the ones that are transformed. Those with whom we serve may become light to us. Jeannie Alexander, the former chaplain at Riverview Maximum Security Prison, spoke at Current a few weeks ago. In referring to her experience in the prison, she said, "You will never know the other until you engage the other. Hearing other stories can be transformative." Often when it comes to people in prison, we think we need to come in and tell them about God and about Jesus. But I'm here to testify that Jesus is in the prison. Over a year ago, I helped start a United Methodist worship service at the Tennessee Prison for Women. One of the women shared with us that she gets up at 4 a.m. every morning when it's quiet to spend time in devotion and prayer. How many of you get up at 4 a.m. to pray? Not me. And then as the Lenten season began, we wanted to share with the women what Lent was, and we discovered that a lot of them had never heard of the term Lent before. As I continued to be in conversation with one of the young women throughout the Lenten season, she would tell me that she was doing Lent. And then during Holy Week, she decided to take a vow of silence, or as she called it, she was going to fast from speaking so she could focus on her relationship with God. And she tells me that I'm an inspiration to her. Someone once said, angels don't always look like angels. You may go to shine your light, but you may find that those you serve end up being light to you. Being in relationship is not always easy. It can be risky. It can be complicated. Walking into the unknown is a step of faith, but amazing things can happen. In offering yourself in service, you may shake and shine for others, but you may also discover the ones you seek to serve end up being God's light and salt for you. In January, I had the privilege of traveling to Haiti with five others from West End to explore expanding our relationship with Promise for Haiti. We learned a lot, and I was moved by how the hospital was able to help people in such need. But for me, one of the most transforming experiences was when Sue Stein and I were on the roof overlooking into the yard next door, a small group of children that were singing. They were in the backyard. Standing in front was a large pile of trash that had been burned and was still smoldering, and they were singing at the top of their lungs. At first, I thought they were singing in another language because I really couldn't understand what they were saying, but then as I listened harder and harder, I realized they were singing in English, and they were singing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. In a country like Haiti, you could easily get overwhelmed with the enormous poverty that you see everywhere. But hearing those children sing reminded me that God is always with us. As Sue said, where is God in Haiti? God is with the people, and we must never lose hope. I mentioned I just returned with the group that traveled to serve with ODIHM Guatemala, the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. And yes, we went to serve working in both the clinic and in construction, but I don't think you can go on an international mission trip and not come back changed in some way transformed. Paul Slint says there's a third way of ministry with the poor, and that is being with. Ministry with the poor takes on its greatest depth in the context of being with the poor. Here there is no doing agenda, not something that particularly must get done. There is simply being together, and that can chip away at the barriers of race, of class, of educational level. I served on the construction team at Guatemala. I spent most of the week shaping a sifter, sifting small rocks out of dirt that could then be mixed with concrete and water. Now, I probably didn't need to travel to Guatemala to sift dirt, but for me, the trip was a transforming experience, and I hope to return. What was transforming for me was the being with both the locals and with the team from West End United Methodist. Spending time with our work site director, Miguel, or as he liked to be called by his English name, Mike, and his five-year-old daughter, Maria, is one thing that really moved me, or I might say warmed my heart. Every afternoon after school, Maria would come to the work site. She loves to sing. And one day, we just all stopped our work and listened to Maria give us a mini concert. I think she sang five or six songs for us. Now, my sifting could wait to take time to be with. And watching the pride and love in Miguel's eyes as he looked on his daughter was truly a beautiful experience. Often on mission trips, you are changed by or transformed by living in community with your team members, which in Guatemala ranged in age from 24 to 70. Only in a third world country will you discuss bodily functions as you travel on the back of a pickup truck to your work site. But how you're feeling that day is very much dependent on how your plumbing is working. This becomes part of the humor of the trip, and we all got a good laugh when one team member pointed out that this was very biblical. For it says in Exodus, Moses took two tablets, he went into the desert alone. So in review, Jesus is not encouraging us to be salt or to be light. Jesus is saying, as children of God and citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we are salt. We are light. And not only that, but we are essential, just like salt. And just like salt is obvious when it's present, so are we. We are the salt and light of the kingdom. Others experience God's kingdom through us. Or to put it another way, others can taste the kingdom of heaven through our saltiness. As Paul Slint says, we can do for, and that is necessary. We can do with, and that moves us closer. And we can be with, and that unites us. As we seek to be salt and light, to shake and shine, transformation will occur. The deeper our relationships go with others, the more likely they will become salt and light to us in return. You may recall that our Lenten season focus was on service using the Micah 6:8 text. He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you, to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. During that time, we had a chance to learn about our mission partner organizations, and we were encouraged to be in prayer and to ponder about where God might be calling us in terms of service in the world. Moving into this season after Easter, our focus has been on living the resurrection. Today, each of us has an opportunity to live into the resurrection by responding to God's call on our lives by making a personal commitment to service. We are all at different points on our faith journey. Some of you are just now ready to test the waters in finding a place of service. And some of you have been serving in meaningful ways for years. No matter who you are or where you've been, we are all called to serve. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's a promise. It's not an option. The only choice is what kind of salt and light you will be. Salt can become contaminated and useless. You can hide your light. Do the people that God places in your life recognize that there is a difference in the way you act, in the way you live? Do not hide your light under a bushel. Do not let your salt lose its taste. Most of you received an opportunity to serve brochure in the mail. Hopefully, you have taken time to prayerfully consider how God is calling you to serve, and you brought your completed brochure with you today. If you do not have a brochure, you'll find one that looks like this in the pew racks. You're invited to complete it and bring it forward and leave it on the chancel rail when you come to receive communion. May we live into the resurrection by presenting our commitment to spread God's love in the world through our service. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's shake and shine. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.